Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Last week, I started a series entitled Peace, War, and the Coming Jewish Temple. It seems like there's always war in the Middle East. Well, just think about it. It looks like some peace has broke out in the Middle East. And we acknowledged the treaty that everyone has been talking about, the treaty between Israel and the United Arab Emirates, and discussed five of the countries who may be the next to make peace with Israel, five Muslim countries in the Middle East. But we also made reference to the coming war of Ezekiel 38 and 39, and then we looked in the a recent news article concerning Turkey's part paving the way for the building of the third temple in the eyes of the Israeli author of this article from Israel Unwired. But so with that, I got my foot in the door to look at the future Jewish temple. Or that is the tribulation temple, not the millennial temple, which of course will be further down the road. But I just wanted to share some things that I thought were very interesting. Some of these, for some of you, this might be groundbreaking. You may not know much about the future temple. For others who study and enjoy prophecy, you'll be familiar with a lot of this. But I think there might be a few things here that would be of interest to you. Even if you are an old hand, as they say, with prophecy and prophetic events. So I got our foot in the door with chapter 12 from Mark Hitchcock's book, 101 Answers to the End Times. And the question in this chapter is, will the temple be rebuilt in Jerusalem in the end times? And to review, of course, we mentioned four temples, the Temple of Solomon, that was destroyed by the Babylonians, the Temple of Zerubbabel and Herod, better known as the Temple of Herod the Great, which was destroyed by the Romans in the time of Jesus in the early church, and then the Tribulation Temple, which we'll be talking about today, and then, of course, there's the Millennial Temple, which is farther down the road. So I left off, I shared five passages in the Bible that indicate that a temple will exist in Jerusalem during the future tribulation period. And I'll quickly make those references again as we'll go into a little bit of detail on these verses as provided by Mark Hitchcock. Daniel 9:27, 12:11, Matthew 24:15, 2 Thessalonians 2-4, and Revelation 11:1-2. The Daniel 9:27 verse, and he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. According to this verse, the Antichrist will make a 7-year covenant, one week of years, with Israel, allowing the Jewish people to offer sacrifices in the temple. Then after 3.5 years, he will rescind the covenant. If sacrifices and offerings are to be offered by the Jewish people, it seems clear that there must be a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. Then the Daniel 12:11 verse, from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Once again, if there's to be a regular daily sacrifice in Israel, it must be in a rebuilt temple where this regular sacrifice is going to take place. Matthew 24:15, of course, refers to this abomination of desolation in this verse. Therefore, when you see, speaking to the future Jewish people, at that time in the future. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, okay, that's something that will be built in the future so that these people will see how the Antichrist defiles the holy place. If the holy place refers to a part of the temple, as most Bible scholars agree, and if the Antichrist's sacrilegious idol, the abomination of desolation, is placed there, we can only conclude that the temple will be rebuilt at some point. And then the fourth verse is 2 Thessalonians 2:4. The man of lawlessness, and we've been talking a lot about lawlessness and violence, the type of stuff we're seeing so much these days, he opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. This is another verse that indicates the Antichrist will sit in the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem during the tribulation, proclaiming himself to be God. And the final verse, the verse is Revelation 11, 1 through 2. Then there was given me a measuring rod and like a staff, and someone said, "Get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. Leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the nations, and they will tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months. There will be a future temple in Jerusalem. It will be trampled underfoot by the nations led by Antichrist for the final 42 months, 3.5 years of the tribulation." These passages clearly indicate that the Jewish people will rebuild the temple in Jerusalem before the coming tribulation period. In fact, preparations are currently underway in Israel to bring this to fruition. The main impediment to the rebuilding of a temple in Jerusalem is the presence of the Muslim Dome of the Rock, the Mosque of Omar, on the place where the temple must be rebuilt. Also on the Temple Mount is Al-Aqsa Mosque, which was built in AD 715 and is regarded as the third holiest place in Islam after Mecca and Medina. But how will the Jews ever be able to rebuild their temple with the Dome of the Rock on the same place of real estate without triggering World War III? Mark Hitchcock's opinion is, he said, this is one of the thorniest problems in all of Bible prophecy. He says there's four possible solutions to this problem. Let's go ahead and look at the four. First, some believe that it may be possible to rebuild the temple without disturbing the Dome of the Rock. The Jewish temple and Muslim Dome of the Rock could stand side by side on the Temple Mount. He said this is very unlikely for two reasons. One, the best archaeologists, including Israeli scholars, concur that the Dome of the Rock stands on the site where the first and second Jewish temples once stood. Two, even if the temple could be rebuilt next to the Dome of the Rock, this would be anathema to both the Jews and the Muslims. Second solution that has been proposed is that God will send some great disaster, such as an earthquake, that will destroy the Muslim structure on the Temple Mount. Third, some believe that when the Antichrist comes to power, he will broker a peace treaty between Israel and the Arabs. Part of that plan would include giving Israel sovereignty over the Temple Mount. The fourth possibility is that the annihilation of Russia and her Muslim allies, as detailed in Ezekiel 38 and 39, which I referred to, will eliminate the Muslim threat to the Jews, thus allowing them to tear down the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque and rebuild their temple without fear of reprisal. The Bible doesn't tell us how the temple will be rebuilt. Any of the scenarios in views 2, 3, or 4 above could be right, or God could bring about the rebuilding of the temple through some other means. But one thing is sure, the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem, just as God's word predicts. Preparations for the rebuilding of the third temple are underway now among the Jewish people. And this book was written, of course, back in 2001, so this has been going on for some time. The Temple Institute in Jerusalem is vigorously working to construct needed objects and utensils for renewed worship in the third temple, including the menorah, the pure gold crown worn by the high priest, fire pans and shovels, the mitzrach, or vessel used to transport the blood of sacrificial offerings, the copper laver, linen garments of the priests, and stone vessels to store the ashes of the red heifer. Efforts continue to produce an unblemished red heifer to fulfill the purification requirements of Numbers 19, 1 through 10. Randall Price, the foremost evangelical authority on the temple, concludes his excellent book on the temple with these timely words. And by the way, we'll be referring to his book also further down the road here. He and Tommy Ice's book, which is Ready to Rebuild from 1992. Probably been updated, but I have an older copy here I'm going to use. But anyway, moving on, he says that, what does this say to you and me? It says that not only have the Jews already begun the ascent to their goal, but they are only one step away from accomplishing it. As this book has shown, the current conflict over the Temple Mount, and this book being the book he wrote, of course, and the resolve of the Jewish activists to prepare for the conclusion of this conflict have provided the momentum for the short distance that remains of the climb. We live in a day that is on the brink of the rebuilding effort, and with it, the beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecies that will move the world rapidly to see as a reality the coming last day's temple. Okay, now, this is another little booklet that I have. It's called 101 Last Days Prophecies, not to be confused with a 101 Answers to Questions About the End Times by Mark Hitchcock. This little booklet is author unknown and date unknown, but I believe it is more current than the book that Mr. Hitchcock wrote that I just referred to. And I wanted to also refer to this because I wanted to recommend it to you for those who are interested in prophecy and see the need to let people know and to warn people of the wrath to come and all these things that are on the horizon, it appears, that we might use to help lead people to an understanding of the Messiah. Anyway, this excellent little booklet is, I think, really good to witness to people just by letting them see a survey of these last days prophecies. You know, you can purchase it. It's still in print. Or you can view the booklet. And I don't work for them. I'm just promoting this because I think it's a good thing. You can view this booklet at www.eternal-productions.org. Now, just a few comments from the booklet pertaining to the temple. The rebuilt temple in Israel is anticipated. And this author also uses five verses, and all of them are identical verses as Mr. Hitchcock used, with the exception of one. He referred to Mark 13 Mark 13, 14, instead of the verse in Matthew 24, 15, but it is a parallel verse, and it's basically, essentially, the same comments are being made there. So anyway, the comments here in this booklet concerning the temple, it says the prophet Daniel, Jesus, Paul, and John all refer to the temple in the last days. Therefore, we know it must be rebuilt. Preparations by the Temple Institute are nearly complete. The temple sacrifices would be reinstated in Israel in the last days. Daniel foresaw the Antichrist ending the daily sacrifices. Therefore, the Jewish sacrificial system must have first been restored in the last days. Currently, the Temple Institute has created the temple furniture, vessels, and priestly garments. And this is, of course, what Mr. Hitchcock was discussing. There are also several hundred young Jewish men in training for the Levitical priesthood. And by the way, I have been to the Temple Institute twice, and I have seen the progress, you know, with my own eyes, even down to the I believe it was a dye that they got from a snail. They were able to find out how to get this original colored dye that comes from a snail to color some of the garments, or maybe it was the robe. I can't remember. It's been several years. I went twice. You'd think I would remember, but I don't. And but I do remember that struck me as very interesting, the details that they're going to. And if you ever get a chance to go to Israel, it's a must. You should go to see the Temple Institute to see these preparations that are taking place. And of course, this has been going on for quite some time. Now, further, a red heifer without blemish must be born and sacrificed to purify the temple in Israel. And according to Numbers 19, verses 2 through 9, the Temple Institute is actively seeking to acquire a kosher red heifer. I remember when I was in Bible college, people talking about that in the early 80s, people talking about this attempts by certain Christian individuals or in conjunction with Jewish people or what have you. And of course, I'm going to be speaking to the effect, of course, that we don't look to the temple for the animal sacrificial system, as no one should, because Christ, of course, cried out from the cross, "It is finished," and basically said, "The sacrificial system is finished." Or basically, I guess more accurately, he was saying that he had accomplished the task for salvation. And Telestai was the Greek word that he cried out, which meant paid in full, which was an accounting term, which meant, "Hey, I paid it all." and sacrifices really won't get it. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself because we do know that this temple will come one day. And it's just fascinating to see the acceleration of things that are taking place in our time, that even though it is a long-term process till this thing comes forth. But because of the Temple Institute, because of the preparations and acquiring the personnel and the different accoutrements and et cetera, it's just fascinating to see that it just progressingly going forward. Now, let me move to the book Ready to Rebuild by Thomas Ice and Randall Price, published in 1992. As I say, there's probably been an updated version of this. And I'll tell you, my library, I have books scattered from, you know, yay and here and there. And, you know, so I just grabbed, the version that was closest to on hand because it was relevant in 1992, and I believe most all of this is relevant for now. Anyway, in the foreword of this particular book, John Wolvard, the famous prophecy scholar from Dallas Theological Seminary, has this to say. For many years, there has been speculation concerning the question as to whether the second temple destroyed in AD 70 will ever be rebuilt. Students of Bible prophecy find clear evidence that it will be rebuilt in the end time because scriptures predict that not only will the temple be rebuilt, but that the sacrifices prescribed by the Mosaic Law will be reinstituted by Orthodox Jews. These sacrifices in turn will be stopped and the temple desecrated 3.5 years before the second coming of Christ, according to Daniel 9:27 and many other passages, which of course we looked at. There has been much confusion, however, among prophecy students as to the evidence for and against this future fulfillment of prophecy, and more in particular where the temple will be rebuilt, because the Bible itself does not give clear indication of this. This book, according to Mr. Wolvard, Ready to Rebuild, says this book is a mine of information for those concerned about prophecy, in particular the issue of when and where the temple will be rebuilt. Because there has been so much false information disseminated and so much misunderstanding, this book will provide a solid basis for faith and what actually can be expected in regard to the rebuilding of the temple. It presents startling evidence that the move is already underway to provide this facility. The book is highly recommended. Now, on page 202 and 203 of the book, I want to make some comments on this statement. Would a rebuilt temple be blasphemous? I know a friend of mine had mentioned that, like, you know, if anybody supported this kind of thing, wouldn't that really be blasphemous since this is a system that God has condemned? Well, this is why I wanted to include this, because I thought it was interesting, the comments here. Some Christian theologians contend that it would be blasphemous for a new Jewish temple to be rebuilt. Based on statements in the book of Hebrews, which speak of Christ's work on the cross, they contend that his act satisfied once and for all time that which the temple sacrifice only foreshadowed. According to this reasoning, the rebuilding of a third temple would deny that Jesus' atoning work on the cross made the temple sacrifice void. No true Christian would deny that Jesus' work on the cross abolished the need for temple sacrifice. Christians who look with interest to the Jews rebuilding their temple are not in any way denying Christ's saving work through his death. Rather, they view the rebuilding as a prophetic sign of the times. The Jews will rebuild the temple in part because of the rejection of Jesus as the Messiah. But what they do in unbelief will fulfill God's sovereign plan of having a temple in Jerusalem for the Antichrist to defile. Christians who are excited about recent Jewish developments to rebuild the temple in no way compromise Orthodox Christian belief, since they do not see it as relating to the forgiveness of sins once and for all accomplished in Christ. Instead, they see it as related to God's prophetic plan. All right. The next thing I want to address is the prediction of Tisha B'Av. And I must confess, I was not aware of this particular prediction. And so, and the only reason I actually bring it to the forefront is that this is the second article that's been in the news recently concerning the temple that brought my attention. And so I found it quite interesting, and maybe you will if you're not familiar with this. I'm going to read to you, the article, okay. The prediction of Tisha B'Av, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, among those Jews who believe that the temple will someday be rebuilt, it is universally acknowledged that the temple will in some way be the product of providence, the intervention of heaven. Dr. Asher Kaufman has said that he believes the very reason the temple, the Temple Mount has been preserved in its present state through the millennia is because God has reserved it for the eventual rebuilding of the temple. Christians, Muslims, or Turks, during their respective rules, could have destroyed the large esplanade of Herod, expanding their cities over the area and making future discovery of the original site, much less the rebuilding of the temple, an impossibility. Yet today this platform, built to support the temple, continues to mark that sacred spot until its destiny is fulfilled. Providence has been especially observed in the instance of one particular date in history, the 9th of Av, or Tisha B'Av, a day of mourning for all Jewish people throughout the world since the destruction of the temple. Five events of national tragedy have been associated with this date. The first of these national tragedies, and the supposed cause of all that followed, was the failure of the Israelites to enter the Promised Land under Moses in Numbers 14. Because the report of faith by the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, was not believed, and the report of fear from the other 10 spies was received, God denied entrance to that generation and condemned them to wander and die in the desert. When Moses delivered this word to the people, they mourned greatly, Numbers 14:39. Since oral tradition preserved in the Mishnah recounts that this lamentation took place on the 9th of Av, a Midrash sought to explain the providential succession of events that later occurred on the same date from this text. The Midrash says that God, angered by the needless weeping, said, "You have cried before me without cause. I shall determine this to be a time of weeping for you, for your generations." So began a phenomenal sequence of disasters that has resulted in nearly 20 centuries of annual mourning. The next four events occurring the 9th of Av all relate to the temple. The second and third disasters involve Solomon's first temple and Herod's second temple, which were both destroyed on the same day, 656 years apart. The last two disasters occurred 65 years later on the same day, AD 135. The first of these was the defeat of the army of Bar-Kokhabar at Betar. The second followed as a consequence of the first. It was the plowing of the site of the Temple Mount by the Roman governor of Judea as a means of signifying the utter destruction of the Jewish city. As a result, the 9th of Av was solemnized as a national day of mourning for the destruction of the temple, yet the providence that brought such a sure into the temple is the same providence that will just as surely bring its new beginning. In the second century, it is said that a group of Jews were standing on the Mount of Olives overlooking the ruined Temple Mount and weeping, possibly on the 9th of Av. The venerated Rabbi Akiva comported his companions by citing Zechariah's prophecy of future redemption. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and women sit in the broad places of Jerusalem." Zechariah 8:4. Rabbi Akiva's statement exemplified the hope for a restored temple that 2,000 years of mourning has only strengthened. While Judaism has attached great importance to the observance of the 9th of Av, its existence as a national symbol of mourning serves to prepare the way for national rejoicing in the future. Indeed, Jewish tradition states that the Messiah will appear on Tisha B'Av, and the day of mourning will become a national day of rejoicing with the rebuilt temple. And of course, that's what they speculate. But anyway, I found that quite interesting. Now, the other article that I mentioned that I want to get to quickly was from the Times of Israel, and this is by the staff there on July 30th, 2020. And again, this is what helped cause me to look into the temple, the future temple, a little bit. And let's just see what this article has to say. "Almost 1,000 Jews visit the Temple Mount for Tisha B'Av. Some pray and wave the Israeli flag." So you see, this was just last month. Nearly 1,000 Jews visited the Temple Mount in Jerusalem on Thursday morning to mark the fast day of Tisha B'Av, which mourns the destruction of the two Jewish temples that stood at the holy site. About 10 of them were detained by police and taken out of the compound after praying in defiance of the rules at the site. The contested compound today houses the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and Jews are forbidden from praying there and face a host of other restrictions within the compound. Located in the heart of Jerusalem's Old City, the compound is revered by both Jews and Muslims, who call it Haram al-Sharif, or the Noble Sanctuary. Large numbers of Palestinians often gather at the site, especially for Friday prayers, and it has long been a flashpoint between Israelis and Palestinians. Footage from the Temple Mount showed members of one of the groups bowing on the ground, saying aloud the Jewish prayer, Shema Yisrael, and being taken away by police. To maintain the status quo, Jews are forbidden from praying at the site. Two Muslims were also detained after chanting derogatory slogans against the Jews. And then under an arrangement in place since Israel's victory in the 1967 Six Days War, Muslims can enter and pray at the Temple Mount, while non-Muslims are allowed to sometimes visit the site but not to pray there. Jews are allowed to enter in small groups during limited hours, but are taken through a predetermined route, are closely watched, and are prohibited from worship or displaying any religious or national symbols. They are also subject to various other restrictions. Finally, in the article, the fast of Tisha B'Av, which mourns the destruction of the two Jewish temples in Jerusalem, began on Wednesday evening and lasts for 25 hours. The Western Wall Heritage Foundation live-streamed Tisha B'Av prayers from the Western Wall to those who were unable to attend. So, you see, many in Israel truly believe that their temple will be rebuilt one day. And those who take God's word literally and who are of conservative scholarship and believe in Bible prophecy also believe that this temple will be rebuilt one day. I'm going to next week continue a little bit more and finish out really this book that I've been quoting from, and in regards to the other things that are taking place in the world that seem to be hastening both the Ezekiel 38 and 39 invasion and the rebuilding of the temple. So we have a lot of interesting information to cover. We have other articles showing the events taking place that are hastening these events. And we know the Lord is coming back soon. The blessed hope is our wonderful hope that Jesus will come and take us with him. So God bless you all, and if we're still here next week, we will continue in this study. Good night.